Bueno, tocando la pelota el equipo de Monterrey, así, seguro, en el medio campo, para que precisamente Benítez vaya a con Pavón. Y si Pavón le permite, le va a pegar. Prefiere sacar centro, Funes Mori, la pelota está en el fondo. Señores y señores, el sueño de esta ciudad está cumplido. La final será Monterrey contra Tigre.
Funes Mori is getting a hat trick to help Monterrey advance over Morelia. That was one of the goal calls. It has been dominant by the two teams from Monterrey in Tigres and Rayados. It sets up an epic final. It is going to blow up in Monterrey, Mexico, Thursday and on the weekend for this home-and-home between these two teams for the Liga MX title. So exciting. By the way, Funes Mori was on the books at FC Dallas way, way back and is a obvious star in Liga MX, so it's pretty incredible. We have Tom Marshall coming up a little bit later on. We're going to continue to talk about the Liga MX final. Quickly, I believe, is that Anthony? Yeah, let's go to Anthony of Car Culture, who joins us now for a quick hit for about 3 minutes here. Anthony, how are you?
Great, Glenn. How are you doing today?
All right, so we're looking forward to the big event, December 16th. It's over Kirby and Westheimer, and Anthony is Car Culture. Tell us a little bit about the event, Anthony.
Yeah, it's really coming down to it. It's we're a little less than 2 weeks away. So I'm working nonstop towards it. Of course, it's for, we always do our events for charity. So this one's actually, I had to say, it's probably one of my favorite ones just because, you know, everybody's in the Christmas mood. We always do a toy drive for Texas Children's Hospital. And yeah, this will be our third one. This will be our third one for them. And, it's just, it's always a really great show. We got a lot of neat stuff coming. We got the new AMG GTR from Mercedes. We've got Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and, you know, I really try to stick to the name, and I try to get a good bit of everything out there. Since in last show we had a Nissan R34, so that's more on the import side. We got classics coming, you know, classic muscle cars. We got some classic Porsches coming. It's just a good variety. It's always a good show, and, I'm just really excited for it.
Yeah, as DJ, this great charitable aspect. As everybody knows, we do a lot of work with Texas Children's Hospital here on Soccer Matters, including if you're on Facebook Live, you see this soccer ball that Nike sent us. We go down. These are great openers when you go into a room to visit a patient and their parents, and they're from all over the world. My friend Freddie Reyes and Eileen Dowd, who were actually patients at Texas Children's, come with me on that. So the toy drive is great. I love the charitable side of this. These are mean machines, buddy. I used to live there when these events would start, and you know, you guys would come roaring in there, and I'd come downstairs, I'd grab a cup of coffee, I'd walk around, and I'd look at these machines, and I'd be just in total awe. They are just absolutely spectacular. Maserati, Lamborghini, you name it, you got it.
Yeah, funny enough, I know the time you came down, and you know, you say it was roaring in, it's because, I mean, like I said, we try to get a good bit of everything, but more often than not, and not everything is stock. So, I mean, the car that you heard, I remember what it was. It was a guy, he had an older Porsche, but it was like a 993, which, you know, it's like more of like, what, around the 2000s, a little earlier, maybe in the 1990s around then. But he had the engine fully built. So the car actually had a little over like around 1,000 horsepower in straight pipe exhaust, so whenever he came in, he was just idling, but it was shaking everything around us, and you know, we got a couple of complaints that morning, but it's just there's nothing we could have really done about it. But we always have a lot of cool stuff like that, and last time we even had a car from SEMA, this huge event out in California, but we had, you know, a huge car, we had a very cool car from SEMA come to our last show. So we typically, it's not just, you know, a good bit of everything, but it's stuff you really, like, don't really see.
Yeah, it's really unique, Anthony, and it's a great event you've put together. By the way, Anthony's only 21 years old. This guy's impressive. I met his brother. So I'm going to be out there on the 16th. Soccer Matters will be there. We're big supporters of what you're doing with Car Culture on this event with Texas Children's Hospital. Anthony, any other information to tell people about it? You just come on out. There'll be a DJ there. And, I mean, one spectacular car after another. If you are a car geek or you are into cars, this is the event to be at, December 16th, 9 to 11, Gables West Ave, right?
That's correct, Glenn.
All right. Anthony, you're the best. Thanks for coming on. Next week, you'll be in studio,
of course,
here.
Glenn,
I want you to come in and see the studio, all right?
Perfect. Looking forward to being there.
All right, that's Anthony with @CarCulture. You can follow him on Twitter, and that event again, December 16th, a lot of charitable aspect to that. All right, bring Victor Ariza back. You know what I want to do here? I want to play the sound of Wilmer Cabrera talking about the future and the budget for the Houston Dynamo.
No, we're not going to change. We're Houston Dynamo, so that's our budget is not going to change. This is us. This is the responsibility that we have, and we're going to try to do the same thing with the budget. Try to find the players that we can afford. We don't have the checkbook similar to Toronto or Seattle or New York City FC or Atlanta. We are the Houston Dynamo, and we understand that, and we are sure that we're going to try to find the players that we can afford.
Now, Wilmer Cabrera has done an unbelievable job to get this team into the playoffs this year. A lot of his contacts, along with Matt Jordan, were how they turned this roster around. Now, there's going to be a lot of questions about the future. Who's coming back? Will Alex be back? Apparently, he's back in Brazil. Will the Dynamo on loan sign a lease? Will they sign Cabezas? Kubo Torres, by the way, is got another 2 years on his five-year contract. He's got a five-year deal. Now, we put this sound up of Wilmer out there, and Victor Ariza asked the question after praising Wilmer and his efforts this year. But I think this is the big burning question now. Can the Dynamo keep pace here doing it the way they're doing it? Because Steve Davis today in 442, again, reiterating what we have been saying on this show for a number of months, that the haves and the have-nots, there is going to be more separation now. There are mechanisms that can separate the big spenders from the ones that maybe don't want to spend as much. And I think it's going to be more difficult in the future for teams that are trying to do it threadbare to compete with the Seattles and Torontos. And ironically, they're in a second straight final, right? A lot of the comments that have come in over on Facebook, if you go to Facebook Soccer Matters, there are a ton of comments, people commenting. Here's one, for instance. Jess White says, spending wisely is the key. Astros are an example of a good mixture. Need to evaluate whether Torres is worth the dollars. Not sure if his contract status, I mentioned it's 5 years. People are saying the Dynamo need to spend more. Dave says it's not the greatest statement ever by a coach, but at least he's being honest and transparent. Hopefully the team stays competitive, puts a good product on the field. Go over there and look at these entries, because they're pretty passionate, and a lot of them are urging the Dynamo to spend more money and invest more in the team. Tom says, things will not change. They'll stay just as they are. Little or no investment. Jennifer says, I appreciate transparency from Wilmer. I feel no pressure as a fan. I love the game, so I come. I don't think the front office feels any pressure, so why should I? Robert says, they've done a great job recruiting, getting great solid players with not a lot of money. This team is worth giving a bit more money to work with. Justin says, pressure from the fans, ? So these are all things that we've talked about for years. But MLS is a very changing and evolving league, and I think this is what we have to understand if we are following the league. Now, you also talked to Alex Victor when you were out there, and he expressed his desire. He wants to be back in Houston.
Yeah, he said he's negotiating with the club. He's expressed his desire all year that he wants to return to the club. Even when the rumors were out there that he was possibly had offers from Mexico, he still, as from what I understand, anytime I've heard about Alex, he wants to stay. Obviously, the two haven't come to an agreement on a particular dollar figure, and I think that's what's holding him back.
Do you think his contract was a part of what happened with his performance? I thought he lost a lot of fire since July. I didn't see that.
Yeah, we
fired, saw him, spirited. Let me just finish. That fired up, spirited Alex. That, by the way, was the team MVP last year on a very poor team. He lost some fire, and I wonder, I wonder what happened there.
Yeah, I was going to mention that the last season, the character he showed last season through a very poor season to finish it out, and with the performance that he showed, I think some fire was missing. We always talk about it, right? It's hard not knowing your future. I'm sure he wondered about it. His, as I understand it, I think his apartment lease already ran out. He timed it exactly to whatever he had left on his contract. And again, I think the sentiment was he wanted to stay here. He hasn't been able to come to an agreement. And the way the rules are, he can't be a free agent. So I think basically the Dynamo are the ones who have dibs on him. And if, again, if that dollar figure doesn't help him, I don't know. Maybe he goes back to Brazil. His agent is based out of there. They have a lot of players in the Brazilian first division, and I think that's probably a bigger possibility now. It looks like he's not coming back, I would think.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, the offseason is going to be very important. We've already seen teams like Sporting Kansas City give the status on every single player. We're hoping in the next week or so, we have to give the Dynamo time to kind of get their ducks in order, but they have to be thinking during the season about what they're going to do in the offseason, because it just comes so quickly. We're hoping to have Matt Jordan, also Wilmer Cabrera on the show next week to kind of, you know, give them a platform to tell you, the Dynamo fan, where it's headed. But it's going to be difficult. You got some aging players now. You got guys like Ricardo Clark and DeMarcus Beasley. Do they come back? How much money do they come back on? Are their contracts renegotiated? There's a lot of things going on. Albert Elise, do we think the Dynamo, 713-780-3776, will they get the Albert Elise signing done? Because La Pantarita could be the star in the future of this team.
And I think the biggest issue, and it goes back to this Wilmer quote, and again, he's being transparent, but it's true. We don't know how invested Gabriel Brenner and the other owners are to putting into this team. I can only tell you from the little I saw backstage at CenturyLink Field, clearly they're happy with the season
transpired. They should be happy with the season, because it's been a drought.
Right. Okay. We don't know their positioning. Long ago when he took over the team, you know, we used to see his letters on the website. We haven't heard from him. We don't know. And fans, I think, worry a lot about it. I think there's still that disconnect between the organization and the fans. A lot of the traveling fans, I'll tell you that, and I counted just over 50 of them, they went on their own, you know, and I wonder why the Dynamo doesn't do something like the Texans do. Like, the Texans do the Traveling Texans group, a little bit of an agency, you know, and especially when you have...
I'm not sure the Dynamo are at the point to be flying fans to Seattle.
Well, no. I'm not saying about flying fans to Seattle, but I'm saying about creating the bridge to where fans can kind of connect with each other and making it easier for them to travel together, part of a group section, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a deep topic that needs a lot more time, because we only have two or three more minutes. We'll get into more of that down the road. We have to be fair to the Dynamo. They had a good season. They have to have some time here to get things figured out. But I don't think there's any question. There are some big decisions that have to be made. And my hope is it's not going to go back to square one.
Yeah.
And you can only platform off
this. You
would
hope not.
You can only platform off this by securing guys like Cabezas, like Albert Elise, like getting more out of Kubo Torres. Torres had a great season, 14 goals, set a record, but at the end of the year seemed a bit out of it. I see a guy in Kubo Torres that's doing just enough kind of to get by right now, and there's more needed out of him.
I will say the sentiment with all the players, they want to keep as much as the group together. We'll have I have those.
And that's
quotes.
What players always say.
We can upload it to the to the Facebook page, and you can hear from those guys.
That's what players always want to have happen. They want it to be kept together. The fact is, it won't be all kept together. I think that's a fact. And you saw what Seattle did. You have to be constantly improving this team to keep up with the Joneses in Major League Soccer. All right, are we up on a hard break here? And we are, says Jose Partida. By the way, there's Champions League and Europa League action coming up this week. And I do want to remind you, we have coming up after this, we're going to go to Tom Marshall, more on that great Monterey Derby. We'll have Stuart Holden on the show tonight to talk about the December 16th, the wonderful kick-in for Houston event that's coming out. Chad Ochocinco, who's been on the show. Ochocinco's going to be there. I'm glad Chad's going to be there.
Are you going to play FIFA with him, Glenn?
No, he's out of my league in FIFA. I'm not a big FIFA guy. I'm too busy trying to prepare for this once-a-week radio show and trying to drive our fan base up. By the way, come on, help us out. Get over to Facebook. Give us likes. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Get over there. Anybody interested in partnering with me for promotion on this show, you let me know. By the way, before we go to break here, Quick word for the King's Court. It's down in Edo, next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins, corner of Walker and Hutchins. 13 TVs, Premier League matches, Dynamo matches. Get over to the King's Court and say hello to jkingscourttx.com. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys. DaspitLaw.com, the Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24-7. They are bilingual, 713-322-HURT, DaspitLaw.com. And again, a big thanks to Bud Light, and they remind you that nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that really matter. Make tonight's tomorrow's story. Swing by King's Court on Saturday, MLS Cup. Also, you can catch Liga MX over there. By the way, Bud Light reminds you that you're building friendships. You're not just drinking beer. And by the way, our team of the week, again, courtesy of Carlsberg, were the two Monterrey teams, Rayados and Tigres. Hope you're enjoying the show. We'll take a break. We got more to come. Coming up next, Tom Marshall of ESPN FC.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, a quick moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. We bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-4878, in Spanish or English. Doesn't matter what type of accident you have, car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They will fight for your right for compensation. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. One of the great friends of the show and one of the great writers covering Liga MX. He joins us now. He's the one and only Tom Marshall. Tom, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Hi, Glenn. Yeah, no problem at all. Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Oh, you don't have to thank me. We always love having you on, and a lot of my listeners, hey, when's Tom Marshall going to be on? So it's always great. So look, we got the Mexican League final we wanted. I watched the games this past weekend, Rayados, Tigres, all of this in the great soccer city of Monterrey, both of them dispatching their semifinal opponents in big fashion, 5-0 on aggregate, Rayados over Morelia, Tigres over Club America. Was there ever any doubt that this was going to be the matchup that we got?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the playoff system, you're never 100% sure, because it's actually quite rare that you get the best two teams in the final. But, you know, I think these two teams now, I mean, when we talk about Liga MX, a lot of the time we talk about how even it is, how any team can beat any other team. And, you know, although that holds to a degree, I think we're seeing the emergence right now of two teams in Monterrey and Tigres, which are actually setting a little bit of distance from the rest of the field. I think the rest of the Liga MX has got to play catch-up, really, with these two teams right now.
Is it simply from a financial perspective, or are they just better at putting their team together? Is it talent? What's distancing them? Because you sounded very much like Major League Soccer there for a minute.
Yeah, I think primarily it's the financial aspect. I think these two teams have, you know, they've not been afraid to splash big money. I mean, that's really what set them apart. I mean, you look at the likes of, you know, obviously André Pierre Gignac, who's big money from Marseille, who gets paid a lot of money anyways.
Yep.
Then, you look at the likes of Eduardo Vargas, Ener Valencia, brought those two over from Europe as well. And basically all around the Tigres team, there's a lot of quality, and the same for Monterrey. They've really not been afraid to throw money at these clubs. And, you know, you look at who owns the two clubs, and they're massive, massive Mexican corporations. So there's definitely no lack of funds there.
Hey, you mentioned Ener Valencia. What a semifinal he had. He had 11 goals this year. So what is the difference here between these two teams, and what do you think will be the difference? It begins Wednesday, and then I believe it's a Wednesday Saturday home and home. What do you think can be the difference in this? Is there a difference?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Thursday-Sunday.
Thursday-Sunday.
I think the difference is in the style of play. I mean, I think Monterrey this season, it's almost been perfect. I mean, the way the season's gone, it's almost been, they couldn't have asked for a better season. I mean, it's been pretty easy for him. Tigres have struggled a little bit more, so I think that you'd put Monterrey just about as favourites. But in terms of the difference between the two teams, I think, first of all, the first question, Aviles Hurtado, the Colombian, who just got called up for the Colombian squad, he didn't play in the second leg of the semi-final because of an injury, the Monterrey forward. If he's back, then, you know, Monterrey, for me, are just about favourites. I say that because, firstly, they've had a great regular season and playoff. And secondly, I just think style-wise, I just think Tigres, if they've got a weakness, if they've got a problem, it's against teams that play on the counter-attack, that are a little bit more direct, and that are basically willing to sit back and soak up. You know, Tigres is very, very much possession-based football. And I think Monterrey, if you look at the statistics, they're not afraid to play, you know, quite a direct brand of football. I'm not by no means long ball, but they're a lot more direct than you associate with Liga MX teams.
Get it forward quickly. Is that so? Yeah, and that's pretty interesting because stylistically and from a purpose of play standpoint, that is kind of unique, isn't it?
It's rare that you see such teams in the Mexican league. I think that, you know, we saw Santos Laguna a couple of years ago with Pedro Caixinha, the Portuguese coach. But in general, most of the teams in Mexico are, I don't know, I think it's also a cultural thing where I don't think fans, to be honest, really, they don't really want to accept teams that sit back. But Monterrey, I think they're slightly different than that because basically what they do is they win the ball back really high up. They work so hard, especially when you see them live. I saw them live a couple of weeks ago and it's unbelievable how hard they work to get the ball back once they've lost it. But when they do get it, they're not afraid to use somebody who knows Texas very well, Rogelio Funes Mori, who's a number nine who can play really well with his back to goal. And they're not afraid to play a direct ball into the number nine. And then for the others, Aviles Hurtado, to work off, basically. And then in midfield, Carlos Sanchez, the Uruguayan, has been, he's back to his very best. You know, he was a big part of River Plate winning the 2015 Copa Libertadores, and I think he's back to that level now. And then the other player I think that deserves a mention for Monterrey is the American, Jonathan Gonzalez, who's 18 years old. And you go through this Monterrey team, and you look at the backgrounds of the players, and you look at what they've done in their careers. And then that's the name that stands out, because Jonathan Gonzalez has only played a handful of games as a professional.
It's a remarkable story, Tom. Why is he coveted in Mexico and maybe not as much coveted here?
I mean, I know for a fact, because I saw him the other week, that he's not allowed to speak to the press. So I think that it's been difficult for, you know, foreign journalists to get to speak to him. And obviously, you know, I think he was playing in MLS, he would get a lot more coverage like that, but this is a bit different in Mexico. And I'm not really sure why he's not got the coverage, because what he's done is absolutely phenomenal, to be honest. Because, you know, this isn't a team that you walk into. This isn't a Puebla. This isn't a Lobos Buap.
Yeah.
This isn't a Veracruz, that, you know, the teams that you expect to be fighting relegation. And this is a team that, again, it's, you know, it's setting records this season. It's been absolutely unbelievable. And Jonathan Gonzalez has held his place as the holding midfielder against the likes of, you know, Jesus Molina, who has been considered by Osorio, you know, in the last 12 months. So it is phenomenal what Jonathan Gonzalez has achieved this season.
He's going to be going head-to-head with the likes of Carioca and Duenas. And listen, not only that, he's 18 years of age, but he's arguably, in the modern game, he's playing in a position that, you know, I mean, outside of strikers, isn't this the position that people look to right away to fill with somebody that's extra special?
I tell you what, Godwin, especially when you watch him live, he's got something else. He's got like a sixth sense. He does, you know, young players usually, especially playing in that position, they rush and they run around like headless chickens. And Jonathan Gonzalez isn't afraid to just, his movement, you know, he sees that second pass, not just the first one. He sees the one after the initial pass. His awareness of space is very, very good. Does he make a couple of mistakes when he's got the ball? He does now and then. But, you know, that's expected for someone of his age. But the maturity that he shows on the field is, you know, it's a huge positive. And, you know, everything that I've heard, all the other reports are suggesting that he wants to play for the United States. So I think it's a big get for the United States, because obviously this is a kid whose parents are from Mexico and could have the option to play for Mexico as well. The other thing, just quickly, Jonathan Gonzalez, is you speak to people in Monterrey. This is a kid who, off the field, he's very intelligent. He does really well in his schoolwork and stuff like that. So I think he's well set up to have a very good career.
Jonathan Gonzalez, big story for Rayados in Mexico. They will take on Tigres Thursday and Sunday for the Liga MX title. What's the talk down in Mexico, Tom, with the grouping of Mexico with Germany, South Korea, and Sweden? Obviously, it's a tough group, and they started off with the defending World Cup champions, Germany, in Moscow.
It's a tough one. It's definitely a tough one. I mean, obviously in that part one, Germany came out. I mean, to be honest, you expect that. If it was Germany, if it's, France, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico going to that game 100% as underdogs. I think the South Korea, I think you'll take that. I think, if you want to have a legitimate chance to reach in the round of 16, the quarterfinals, the semifinals, you're going to have to beat a team like South Korea. If Sweden won that, I don't like that much, to be honest. I think Mexico obviously got a good chance against them, but it's just the style. I mean, we saw that Sweden game against Italy and how defensive they were and how awkward they are. And, I think it's the second tallest team in World Cup qualifying. So I think aerially from set pieces, and Juan Carlos Osorio has talked so much about trying to get this Mexico team better at defending set pieces, better in the air. He even picks players specifically because they're better in the air than others. So that Sweden game, it all looks like it's going to boil down to that one. Sweden aren't going to want to play Mexico either. If Mexico play like they did against Belgium, for example, over there last month, it's not an easy team to play Mexico either. I mean, they're very, very intense, very, so technically good on the ball, and they take the game to the opposition. But Sweden as well, I think it's going to be, it's an awkward draw for Mexico more than anything. It's possible, but it's definitely a bit awkward.
Well, Tom, as always, thank you for all the great conversation and thoughts on both the great final. It's going to be real drama between Monterrey, between Rayados and Tigres down in Monterrey, and then, of course, a little bit there on the Mexican national team and their World Cup draw. Thank you always for coming on the program.
No problem, Glenn. Yeah, thanks again for the invitation, and I'm sure we'll catch up soon.
Absolutely. He's the one and only Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. Get his writings over there. He does a tremendous job covering Liga MX. Before we head to break here, and this is right off the heels of Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. The Carlsberg Team of the Week, brought to you by Carlsberg Beer, probably the best beer in the world. We're going to give it to two teams. We're going to give it to Rayados, and we're going to give it to Tigres, because they've set up this incredible game in Monterrey, Mexico, this home-and-home series. So we'll give it to those two teams, both Tigres and Rayados, who have set up what is a final that everybody wanted. That is brought to you by Carlsberg, probably the best beer in the world. We'll take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN, 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Just a quick word here for Bud Light. As host of Soccer Matters, I remind you, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. So every time you tune in to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 or you go down to King's Court, don't forget to grab a bucket of Bud Lights. Grab your friends. Get a bucket, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Fox analyst, former Houston Dynamo. You know him from his time in the Premier League. Stuart Holden joining us right now. Stuart, thanks for coming on the program.
Glenn, always great to be on, my man.
Yeah, well, let's first... let's do a little talk about the MLS Cup final, because I know you're gonna be there. Let's talk a little bit about that. Then we'll get it into a little bit more for kicking for Houston, which is coming up really rapidly here on December 16th. So let's just start it off. I mean, if I look at the two teams going into this, Seattle, and Toronto FC. It's a repeat of last year. It's obviously big money teams in Major League Soccer. Which team do you think is going into this MLS Cup final with slightly more momentum or maybe in a little bit better form?
You know, I think when I look at this game, it's interesting because Toronto have had the better season of the two teams. They've, you know, the best season, major regular season record in MLS history. They won the Canadian Cup. They've had a relatively easy time through the playoffs. I mean, they had a challenge from the New York Red Bulls, and Columbus ran them close right at the end, but it never felt that they were going to lose those series. But they hadn't been in great form. And we hold them to a high standard because they had such a great year. Jovinko, Jozy Altidor, Victor Vasquez, all these stars that they have, we hold them to a high standard. So naturally, when there's a dip, everyone's saying, well, Toronto's not in great form. I argue the other way because they're finding a way to win, and they're finding a way to win when it's ugly, and that's the sign of a good team sometimes. Seattle on the other side, they really just dispatched the Houston Dynamo. The Vancouver series always felt comfortable for them. So I really do believe that these are the two best teams in Major League Soccer. So it's going to be a great final. I think Toronto have enough to get over the line this time. Last year, they had the best chances. They couldn't do it. They lost on penalties. It was heartbreaking, and they have a point to prove. So if I'm thinking that one team is favored over the other, I'm going with Toronto FC.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would go with you on that. I would just say I think Seattle goes in probably a little bit less pressure. Certainly, as you mentioned, very dominant over the Dynamo. I don't think any question. Haven't given up a goal in the playoffs. So I kind of think, you know, from that perspective, and they are a team that can hold the ball as well, which is a good counter to what TFC does. So, I mean, if TFC loses the ball, it might take a little longer to win it back than normal. So I just think maybe they're going in there with a little bit less pressure. Would you buy that theory?
I would, and I actually had this conversation with a friend earlier and said that Toronto are going to have more pressure because they're putting that pressure on themselves because they feel their season will be vindicated. Everything will feel right if they win MLS Cup. But this is what they all want. You know, they all said Supporters Shield's great, Canadian Cup, yeah. But we set the goal on day one as MLS Cup or bust. And so here they are. And so that can work against you in some ways when you get into this high-pressure situation. And isn't that weird when you're playing against the defending champion in the Seattle Sounders that you're saying that they're coming in with less pressure and they're trying to repeat as champions, but nobody's really talking about that because of the season that Toronto have had. So in many ways, it's beautiful drama. I can't wait for it. I think if Toronto and the crowd and everybody recognizes that this game's going to be tough, it's not going to be a 3-2, a 2-0, it's going to be a 1-0 game. And they get behind their team and they stick with them, I think they have enough to get past Seattle.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing atmosphere. MLS Cup final Saturday, and it's one that is not going to want to be missed. Look at some of these signings, and I look at this, and of course I go directly to Victor Rodriguez and Kevin Leerdam of Seattle. Let's start with those two, who were picked up in the summer transfer window. Boy, what important signings those two were, and what tremendous use of targeted allocation money from Seattle.
Yeah, it is, and I would argue that the Toronto have done the same, and they've both teams good GMs, Bezvichenko for Toronto, Garth Lagerwey at Seattle Sounders, and Chris Henderson, what they've been able to do to construct that roster and realize in this league, if you want to make another run, you have to re-beef that roster. So Tyrone Mears leaves. They bring in Leerdam. They bring in a little bit of extra steel in midfield. Gustav Svensson comes in as well, and he's another, you know, solid player right in the middle of the park, a player that we'll see at the World Cup next year with Sweden, hopefully. And, you know, that's why both of these teams have been able to get through some of these tough patches because Seattle didn't have the greatest of starts, and they weren't that convincing. But since, you know, the middle of the year, not like last year where they just went on an absolute tear, they've gotten stronger in a quiet way. I just think people saw them building up steam, but was never, well, Seattle's a banker to be an MLS Cup. But here they are and with a motivated Clint Dempsey as well.
Yeah, that's a great storyline, Clint trying to win an MLS Cup final. And also, you know what I love about Brian Schmetzer? He's so out front, the manager of Seattle. You know, he'll basically say to you, yeah, we're going to play Will Bruin up front and we'll have we'll have Ladero underneath and Clint underneath. And here's what, you know, I just love that level of confidence from a manager.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you know, Brian Schmetzer deserves a lot of credit for what he's been able to do. And, you know, he had a quote when we spoke with him a couple of weeks ago saying, you know, I'm a good manager because I've got a good team. I've got a good group of players. I'm not buying that. He's done a great job with this team, even if he wants to sell me the humble pie. And the way that they've just been able to put this team, the little tactical changes, like you said, and the Clint Dempseys and the Laderos, and they're going to get Jordan Morris back, and just to keep this group motivated to make a run at second MLS Cup is quite the task for that manager.
All right, now I'm going to flip it over to Greg Vanney and Toronto FC, and you mentioned it. They've put together a heck of a body of work, and I just wish these big bodies of work were recognized more in Major League Soccer. But the minute we get into the playoffs, it really kind of gets swept under the carpet. From that perspective, if they win this MLS Cup, this could be the greatest season or would be the greatest season the team has ever put together, Toronto FC.
Yeah, they would, and that's why Greg Vanney won Coach of the Year. And I asked a number of the players. I said, "Hey, how much credit does Greg Vanney deserve?" Because nobody really talks about his influence on this group, and it's almost expected. Well, you have the best players, and my counter was, "Well, they've spent a lot of money in the past, and it hasn't gotten them anywhere. And they finally found a manager that was able to manage those personalities, put them all together to make the perfect recipe, get the buy-in on day one." Keep certain things simple, put the little pieces around those stars to let them shine, and get the buy-in from the entire team. I think was the most important, this mentality. And he called it a process. He said, we go through a process every day in training. We go through a process every week in the lead up to a game. Our process started on week one. Nothing changes to now. And all we're doing now is resetting and looking to MLS Cup as another part to finish that process that we started on day one, which I just love. He has everybody dialed in. There's one message from the top, and every player looked like they enjoy playing for Greg Vanney, and so he deserves a lot of credit, like you said, Glenn.
Yeah, and there's always this prevailing sort of thought that, oh, you know, Toronto FC's got all the riches, Seattle, of course they should win, and that's that. It's just such poor judgment to say that, because look, you have big problems with managing, not problems, but you have the challenge of managing big egos and big players. So, you know, I don't think one or the other, a team with lesser egos or one with larger egos, you can sort of condition it and say that one's harder or more difficult than the other. They both have challenges, and I think Greg Vanney and Brian Schmetzer have done outstanding jobs, and I think Brian's approach, as you mentioned, is a lot about deflecting a lot of, you know, the great moments of this team onto his players, onto his staff, and great leaders do share it with everybody.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree, and I think Greg Vanney should be one down the line. Even guys like Greg Berhalter, the names that should be thrown in the hat when we start talking about the U.S. men's national team job. And yeah, we threw that to Greg Berhalter last week when we saw him, and he was quick to downplay and said, "I'm nowhere near ready for that." But I think someone like that would love to take that job. Maybe it's not now. Maybe it's in 2 years. Maybe it's after the next World Cup. But I certainly think these guys have bright futures as managers.
Any particular matchups or areas of this game that jump out to you at this point, Stuart? I know we're a couple days out.
I would say in the center of the park, I thought Ozzy Alonso last year was the MVP of the game. And in a final, when you need, it was all about the stars. And I remember doing our pregame show and it was talking Giovinco and Altidore versus Nico Ladero, Jordan Morris, all these big stars. But I thought Alonso in the end was the best player on the field. And I look at that matchup again this weekend, and I think now you have Victor Vasquez in the middle of the field with Michael Bradley in there as well. And then for Seattle, you have Svensson, you have Christian Roldan, who's quickly become one of the most reliable players in the league. And then you also have Clint Dempsey and Ladero popping in there. And I think whoever wins that midfield battle right in the heart of the field is going to be the team that wins the game.
Yeah, this is exciting. There really are a ton of storylines to this one. We've seen some teams basically stand somebody on Michael Bradley to kind of disrupt him a little bit and try to make him a little bit uncomfortable. Do you see Seattle doing that?
I think so. I think it's interesting hearing Christian Roldan talk to him. He said that Gonzalo Pineda, an assistant coach, had told him he needs to be a little nastier on the field. He wants to see him getting guys' faces and put some tough challenges. So I think he will be one. Even we saw the Columbus Crew. They played a really tight blow block to try and limit space for Altidore and Giovinco, and they really didn't get into the game much at all until they came to life for the goal, and it was just a little scrappy play at the back heel from Giovinco, 1-2, and the ball is in the back of the net. So I think if you can try and just, not dirty, but just try and rough those guys up, throw them off their rhythm, force them to go and pick the ball up wide where they're not dangerous, that's going to be the most important, I think, for Seattle. And like you said, that's going to be a tough task, though.
Boy, what a sublime goal that was. I could watch that one over and over. And I love the fact that that game was won on a spectacular class goal like that.
I know. I was just praying that it didn't go to penalties because that makes for a long night, as you know.
Boy, that was, I'll tell you, that was an unbelievable finish, because how about the cross that went through went through a bunch of players at Columbus, nearly stuck home? I mean, that would have been a huge blow and a huge upset.
Well,
if that had
happened. Would even have sent them through regardless. It was Ola Kamara at the back post. He saw it late. I mean, any body part on that going forward, that's in the back of the net. It was incredible to watch.
And it was a great storyline with Columbus trying to get the past Toronto FC and then host. All right, let's move on. December 16th, kick-in for Houston Celebrity Soccer Matches. Everybody out there knows our lives may be going on, but a lot of people still having real challenges from Hurricane Harvey. Kick-in for Houston, the Celebrity Soccer Match, started by Stu. It's December 16th from 5 to 8 p.m., BBVA Compass Stadium. Tickets are available at ticketing.axs.com, I'm sure through the Houston Dynamo as well. Stu, what else do you have to say on kick-in for Houston?
Yeah, actually, we've had quite a few developments. We even got a couple Houston Astros involved in the mix now, Glenn. We've got Alex Bregman. Dallas Keuchel's in the mix. We've also got Ocho Cinco, who will be playing in the game, and one or two others that I cannot announce just yet, but we are close to finalizing them. I think it's just going to be a fun time, honestly. It's a way and a creative way that people can come out. People can support the other Houstonians that are still in need. 100% of the money will be going back to the city of Houston. We're going to work with Assist the Officer in helping families of first responders that have been impacted by the storm. We're going to be working with Habitat for Humanity, rebuilding some homes in Houston. We're even going to work to put a local soccer field in and around the Houston area, and just try to make the biggest impact we can. So there's a number of ways you can help. All of them are on our website. You can donate tickets for people to attend. You can buy tickets and come out, because that's what we really want. We want people to come out and support and just share in what I think is going to be a really fun evening, entertaining soccer match with some of the biggest stars in soccer and entertainment and sports. How about Roger Clemens? I mean, what position is he going to play, Glenn? You think center forward?
I think either center back or you could throw him in the box there with that big body to knock a few people around, or you could put him as a center back to lay a few people out, or even put him in goal. He's probably got great hands.
Yeah, we got a lot of options. Bodie Miller is already talking a big game. He said, he's like, you weenie soccer players have never dealt with a guy that's 260 running through, right through the middle, just barreling people. And I said, well, I'll disagree with that. I played against some big players in my day, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm pumped Ocho Cinco's coming, because he was on this show. He's a funny guy. He'll add a lot to it. He loves the game of soccer. He'll go anywhere to play a soccer match, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what he said. As soon as I asked his agent and I got in touch with him, he said, yep, I'm in 100%. Where do I play? Where do I sign?
Remember when he had Sporting Kansas City? He was on trial.
I do. I remember he was playing as a left winger. It was a great. I was yet to gauge his level. I mean, the guys told me he's got a good little touch on him. He can hit a good cross. Either way, I just love that his passion for the game. I always see him tweeting about playing FIFA.
He's a big FIFA guy.
For him to shake it up now against some of the best in U.S. soccer history should be a lot of fun to watch.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Kicking for Houston Celebrity Soccer Match. Stu set it up. It's December 16th. Ticketing.axs.com, HoustonDynamo.com for tickets. Let's get out there. Let's help raise some funds for Hurricane Harvey relief. Stu, as always, thank you very much for coming on. Enjoy the MLS Cup final.
Glenn, my man, I hope to see you. Well, we'll see you there at Kicking for Houston anyways. Can't wait to have you part of all of it.
Absolutely. I'll be there. It's done deal.
Okay, see you, man.
All right.
Bye.
Stu Holden, we wrap it up in big style tonight. Again, it's Celebrity Soccer Match that benefits Hurricane Harvey Relief. December 16th, kick-in for Houston Celebrity Soccer Match down at BBVA Compass Stadium. All right, we wrap it up tonight. Quick word for Kings Court. Now, the real soccer pub in Edo is Kings Court. It's right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins, corner of Walker and Hutchins. 13 TVs, Premier League matches, Dynamo matches, La Liga, Champions League. Kings Court has 24 taps, a full bar, extensive selection of spirits, wonderful pub food. Kings Court, it's a spot I hang out at. KingsCourtTX.com for Jose Partida, Victor Ariza. I'm Glenn Davis. We'll say goodnight. Don't forget, get the podcast of this show at podcastarena.com. Good night. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening.